Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. It's good to have your company once more. Union with Christ, more from Clive Boucher. And being shepherds of God's flock, Adrian Reynolds talks with Ian Flanders about this aspect of leadership in today's church. At the moment, here on Serving Today, we're thinking about friendship, intimacy and union, or oneness with Christ. Clive Boucher is here again to help us with this. He begins now by giving us a title of the talk this time and which particular verses he's going to speak about.
The title is What the Father Wants, and we're going to be looking in particular at verses 40 and 54 of chapter 6 of John's Gospel, but the longer passage is John 6 verses 35 to 54.
Well, let's read John chapter 6 verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And here's verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.
Yes, those two verses talk about eternal life, don't they? Eternal life, everlasting life, is a common phrase in Christian circles, isn't it? But it's not one that we always feel we understand terribly well. What's eternal life? Well, it's the only mode of existence, John tells us, that deserves the name life. Jesus tells us it begins now, for real, and flourishes after physical death in the age to come. And actually, a good translation would be the life of the age to come. We've seen that Jesus is the living one, the living bread, the only one who can give us this real life now and forever. And here in these two verses, we see that he gives us this life by sacrificing himself for us. That's verse 54. A body broken and blood shed by him in self-giving love. So in verses 40 and 54, Jesus is explaining more about what our relationship with him looks like when we have this life. And we see that it involves personal knowledge of him. It involves recognizing who he is, coming to him, and placing our believing trust in him. That's verse 40. That's what he means when he's talking about looking to the Son and believing in him. Let's compare verses 40 and 54. One of the things that you notice is that they end exactly the same way, don't they? With those words, I will raise them up at the last day. And that tells us that we need to compare the first halves of the verses. Verse 40, the first half says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And that's parallel to the first half of verse 54, which says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. What that tells us is that eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood, and we're going to explain in a moment what that means, that's an essential part of looking to him and believing in him and trusting him. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood is talking about his sacrificial death, isn't it? We need to trust Christ's death for us. And so we see that God isn't reluctant or mean towards us rebels. The Father wants and wills us, verses 38 to 40 are saying, to approach his Son Jesus, person to person, face to face, if you like, and to say yes to him and to life with him.
Well, let's just read verses 38 to 40 of John chapter 6, which you've just mentioned. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Clive, how can we apply this to ourselves and to our people?
Well, we're learning, aren't we, that true life is all about knowing Christ. It's about intimacy with him and closeness to him. Jesus actually says that in a nutshell, doesn't he, in John 17, verse 3. Now, this is eternal life. This is the life of the age to come, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so Christian faith is relational. It's all about knowing Christ. It's all about fellowship with him, intimacy with him, closeness with him, oneness with him. And that means, when you think about it, that the more we experience of Jesus in that sort of relationship, the more we will experience of real life.
Thank you very much indeed, Clive. We come now to our consideration of biblical leadership, which Adrian Reynolds is helping us with. Last time, as Ian Flanders spoke with Adrian, he told us he'd be looking at a number of different terms used in the New Testament to describe those called to pastor and lead God's people. Today he begins his look at the first of those, so I'll now hand over to Ian and Adrian.
Hello, Adrian. Last time you introduced us to the subject of leadership and said that you'd be looking at eight pictures of what it means to be a Christ-like servant. So, which one are you going to begin with?
Well, Ian, the first of our pictures comes from the book of Acts. Paul had spent over 2 years in Ephesus. He had taught the people there. He had started a church there. And then he went on to Macedonia and Greece. But on his way back, he stopped off to see the leaders of the church in Ephesus again. However, he didn't go all the way to Ephesus. It was too far from where he was, so he stopped off in a place called Miletus, where the leaders from Ephesus came to see him. You can read all about this in Acts chapter 20. They are wonderful and important words there. We know that because the elders came a great distance, about 30 or 40 miles, 40 or 50 kilometres.
So just what kind of things did Paul speak to them about?
He spoke to them about his ministry. He spoke about everything he had done with them. But there is one sentence I want you to especially remember, which is in verse 28. In my Bible it says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." So leaders in the church must be shepherds. In fact, that is where we get our word pastor from. It means the same thing. This is the message for you. When you go out and speak to people about Jesus, and when you go out and teach the Bible, you must do it like a shepherd. That is the attitude you must have.
So then, this is the first picture you want to talk about, being a shepherd for God's flock.
Yes, and it's one of the most common pictures for what it means to be a worker for Jesus Christ. Yet it's sadly often ignored. Some people say to me, it's good to be a teacher, I like being a teacher, I like having a crowd, I like having a following. But serving Jesus is not really about that. It's about being a shepherd. I saw a video the other day of a meeting. A very large meeting. There were tens of thousands of people there. The speaker turned up in a large car, like a government car. He had bodyguards, he had protectors. He went onto the stage and spoke. Then he got back in his car and left. Well, that is not what Paul would have done. He wanted to be a shepherd.
Well, you've just said there something what a shepherd is not like, but just in what way does Paul want us to be like shepherds?
Well, quite simply, because that's what Jesus was like. So if we looked at John 10, verse 11, Jesus says there, "I am the good shepherd."
And does this chapter of the Bible tell us anything of what Jesus, as a shepherd, actually did, or what he was like?
Yes, Ian, it does. We can learn a lot from John chapter 10. So, for example, verse 3 tells us that the sheep listen to the shepherd, and he knows each one by name. So this is not about being a great leader, like a prime minister or a president. Being a shepherd is actually knowing the people you are leading. It's about knowing them very well indeed and caring for them, loving them and leading them. The shepherd knows his sheep so well that when he calls their name, they follow him. That's a picture of a very close relationship. So close, in fact, that the shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. Jesus, the shepherd, of course, was willing to die for us, his sheep. That's what John says in verse 11 of that chapter. That is the mark of a true shepherd.
Well, that tells us about what Jesus was like as a shepherd, but does the Bible teach us how we should be like a shepherd?
Peter describes Jesus as the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And then in that same passage, he goes on to describe us as the under-shepherds, or perhaps we might say assistant shepherds. You can look up that passage in Peter to see what that means. It means, for example, that you must not be greedy. That means that you are not being a shepherd, you're not being a leader for what you can get out of it. You're working for Christ Jesus. Peter also says you must be eager to serve. You must want to do it. You must be pleased to do it. And then you must not lord it over people, my Bible says. That means you must not be superior or proud or arrogant. You must be an example. You must show your people how to live by how you live.
And these are very challenging ideas. In some ways, being a shepherd does not seem an important job. A shepherd is often someone with no education or standing.
That's true. But being a shepherd of God's people is the best job there is. There can be no better job, because it is being like Jesus Christ himself, the Good Shepherd.
Well, we have there the great privilege of being a shepherd of God's people, but also the great responsibility to be like Christ himself in the way he ministered the things of God to his followers during his earthly ministry. This is a very high standard indeed. And that reminds us of what the book of Hebrews in the New Testament says. In chapter 13 and beginning at verse 17, the writer urged his readers, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority." And then he added these most searching words, "They keep watch over you as men who must give account." In other words, every pastor and leader amongst God's people will be called before God on the judgment day to explain all that they've done as shepherds of God's people. Lack of diligence now in this task will lead to great shame in that day. And it also reminds us to be always assessing the way we approach and conduct our service for the Lord. It's not to be for the praise of men or to be noticed by people, but for the good of those we serve and the glory and praise of God. No doubt we'll learn about this in our next programme, but we are to be like the shepherds of biblical times who lived with their flocks and who guided and fed and protected them, and who often spent much time and effort in bringing back those who'd wandered away. It's a task that is spiritually, emotionally and physically demanding. And yet still, there is no greater privilege that can be given to an individual. And with that, we must close this edition of Serving Today. But we look forward to Clive Bowsher and Adrian Reynolds being with us next time, so we hope you can join us. Remember, if you've any questions relating to today's items, then we'd be pleased to hear from you. And you can write to us at Serving Today. The address follows in a few moments. So until next time, it's goodbye from me, Andrew Cook. May the Lord grant us the grace we need to serve him and his people in the best possible way. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.